by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. And the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalatu wassalamu alayki ya Rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ya Habiballah. Assalatu wassalamu alayki ya Nabiyallah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ya Nurallah. Viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine on Madani Channel. What a best way to rise and shine by reciting the Durood-e-Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Anybody that is familiar with the gatherings of Dawud Islami will realize that we begin every gathering by giving you a blessing of reciting Durood-e-Pak. The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, send salat abundantly upon me on Fridays, for it is the day of presence. Allahu Akbar. Angels appear, and whoever recites salat upon me, his salat is presented to me. The narrator also said, I humbly asked, even after your apparent demise, even after you put a curtain between this world and the next world? And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, indeed, Allah Azza wa Jal has forbidden the earth to consume the bodies of the prophets. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madhi Channel will keep on saying this. I'm going to continue to say this, that please make a habit of reciting Durood-e-Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam. We have times in our life where we are waiting for things to happen, or rather waiting for things to happen and wasting that time. Utilize that time, and one of the best ways of utilizing it is sending Durood-e-Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam. Before we introduce today's topic, which is it's very important at any point in our life, we're going to have a talawat of the Quran, inshallah. So let's go and listen to the daily talawat of the Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه الشمس والقمر بحسبان والنجم والشجر يسجدان والسماء رفعها ووضع الميزان ألا تطغوا في الميزان صدق الله.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, we listen to the daily tilawat of the Quran. And again, there's certain things I'm going to repeat every single day, and you know, until it becomes a habit inside us, that we need to make a habit of reading and listening to the Quran on a daily basis, and especially during the blessed month of Ramadan and throughout the whole year as well. And in the Madani Namaz card, the card that the Amir al-Sunnah has given to us, And in that, he advises us that at least 3 ayats of the day, every single day, with translation and commentary, inshallah, as well. And you'll see a change inside yourself. And if only then 3 ayats of the Quran with translation and commentary were recited in front of the family. And those of you that live close to any of the Fizan Madinas of Dawat Islami, then one of the activities of Dawat Islami is that at the Fajr, after Salatul Fajr, we have a Madani Halqa. And in that Madani Halqa, 3 ayats of the Quran are recited, and the translation and the commentary are also recited there. So if you can join the Fajr Jamaat, inshallah, in your nearest Fizan Madina, then inshallah, you can be part of that Fajr Halqa, and inshallah, attain the blessings of listening to the Quran, translation and commentary every single day. Before we begin about the topic of the day, we're now going to listen to the Naat of the day, inshallah. And again, this is another way of increasing the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our hearts. So please make a habit of listening to these things as well. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulullah wa sallam alayka ya Habib Allah. Wo kamal husn
Yeah.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ ماشاءاللہ ماشاءاللہ. Viewers of Madri channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. Today we're going to talk about repentance, inshallah azwajal. So please stay tuned and hopefully we'll learn something about repenting from the sins that we have committed. But before we begin on this, I would give you a story regarding Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam. It is stated in Siratul Jinan, the publishing book which has been published by Maktabat al-Madina, on page 378. It states in this book that Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam, he used to live in an area of Mosul. And the people there, they were indulged in unbelief and polytheism. Now Allah Azza wa Jal, he sent Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam to them and he enjoined them to believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, but they refused. He gave them in Niki Ki Dawat, invited them to the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, but they refused and then didn't listen to Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam. But by the command of Allah Azza wa Jal, Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam informed them that punishment is heading towards them. He said to them that, look, you know, punishment is coming towards you. And they discussed this with each other and they said that, you know, Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam, although we've not listened to what he has said, but he's never said anything false. So if he stays here tonight, then there is no danger. But if he does not spend the night here, then this means that we will get punished. Allahu Akbar. When the night fell, Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam left that place and the signs of torment began appearing in the morning. A dark and terrifying cloud appeared in the sky. A lot of smoke covered the entire city. After witnessing this, they realized that now the torment was about to be inflicted upon them. They looked for Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam but found him nowhere. Now they became even more terrified. Therefore, they went towards the jungle along with their children, women, and animals. And after wearing thick clothing, they repented of their sins and they started saying that they are Muslims. Allahu Akbar. Wives got separated from husbands and children from their mothers, and all of them became extremely worried and humbly begged Allah Azza wa Jal, saying that they have embraced the religion which was brought to them by Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam. Therefore, viewers of Madani Channel, all of them, they sincerely repented and rid themselves of the sins that they had occurred, which they were committed. They returned each other's possessions, even a single stone that belonged to someone else, but by mistake, it was used in the foundation of another person's house. They demolished that house and gave that stone back to the original person, and then sincerely made dua to Allah Azza wa Jal for the forgiveness. And Allah Azza wa Jal had mercy on them and answered their duas by granting them salvation from this torment. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Mother Channel, we can see from this short parable that repenting in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, sincerely repenting by all these people, and you can see from this that not only did they sincerely repent, but they made up from the sins that they committed as well. They sincerely repented, and as a result of sincerely repenting in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, and I'll keep wording, using the word sincerely, you can see I keep on adding that word, sincerely repenting, and I'll explain in a minute. Because these people sincerely repented in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, then Allah Azza wa Jal saved the whole nation from punishment. Saved the whole nation from punishment. And when we repent from our sins, there are conditions. You cannot just lift your hand, Ya Allah, forgive me. Ameen. It's a little bit more than that. In fact, it's a lot more than that. There are certain conditions over repentance that we need to be aware of. Number one, if you committed a sin, whatever the sin is, and we'll talk about different sins in a while, but whatever the sin is, if you committed a sin, the first thing that you need to do is you need to feel regret over that. For example, if you missed your namaz, yeah, are you just going to repent in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla just for the sake of, oh, I missed my namaz, okay, Ya Allah, forgive me? No, you need to feel regret over that. Ya Allah, you know, oh, no, I missed my namaz. That should not have happened. You know, why did that happen? You know, and, you know, be angry with yourself. You know, that, you know, why did that happen? I shouldn't have let that happen. I should have set my alarm earlier. I should have set two alarms. I should have made sure I got up. I should have got somebody else in the house to get me up. And secondly, is to abandon that sin. Yeah? Stop committing. If it is a sin that you're committing, for example, if it is a sin that you are doing at that moment in time, then stop committing that sin. And thirdly, make a sincere intention of not committing that sin in the future. Ya Allah, I missed that namaz this morning. Ya Allah, you know, I didn't get up at Fajr because I didn't set my alarm, but tomorrow I'll make sure. I'll set two alarms. I'll set the alarm to go off 20 minutes before, and I'll set the alarm to go off 10 minutes before, just in case, yeah? And I'll make sure that, and I'll tell someone in the house that if I'm not up 10 minutes before that, then wake me up. And that is a, sincerely in your my heart, you are making this intention. And why I use the word sincerely is that you are now making a firm intention in your heart, that I'm not going to commit that sin again. I'm going to make sure that this doesn't happen again. And whatever that sin is, you need to make this firm intention. Ala Hazrat Imam Al Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, said that the repentance means immediately giving up that sin and feeling a deep regret and being worried because it is the disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jal, and making a firm intention in the heart not to commit that sin. And finding out every possible way to compensate for that sin. And that's very, very important as well, compensating for the sins that you have committed. We're going to take a small break now, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how we compensate for the sins that we committed, because there's different types of sins that we've committed. And depending on the type of sin that you have committed, sometimes it is not simply not enough just to repent from that sin. So we're now going to have the daily reminder of the day. So please stay tuned, and inshallah, after this, we'll talk about how we compensate from the sins that we have committed. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
My sweet Islamic brothers, the problem is when we are children, our role models are our parents. When we are children, we look up to our parents. When we are children, all our world is our parents. But when we grow up, we are no longer with our parents. My sweet Islamic brothers, this is happening to us in society today. Your mother who born you, she went through pain for 9 months and then you were born. The mother who looked after us when we were a child, she didn't have to feed us. She didn't have to clothe us. But she did. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jalla put it into her heart that this is your child and you need to look after your child. My sweet Islamic brothers and viewers of Mandi Channel, the mother who did not eat herself and fed us as a child, the mother who did not clothe herself, but yet bought us new clothes. The mother who did not even buy new Eid clothes for herself, but made sure that her child had new Eid clothes. The mother that as we were growing up, made sure that we had the best of everything. Yet, she wore ripped clothes that were sewn again. The mother that really looked after us when we would fall. The mother would pick us up, clean our hands. If we had a cut, clean our cut. And maybe even sometimes have tears in her eyes that my child has been hurt. The mother that looked after us when we were about 7, 8. The mother, when we said to our mothers that, "Mother, please, I want this. All my friends have got one." She made sure that we got that. The mother that looked after us and she saw us grow up. And each time we would repeat something, she had the patience of listening. But the child, when he grew up, the mother is expecting that child to love her and give her affection. Yet the child says, "No, I have not got time for you. I have got time for my friends." The child grows up and says, "You are boring me. I need to go to a place to get my satisfaction." My sweet Islamic brothers, the child, when he grows up into a man and gets married, he says, "You are a burden upon me." My sweet Islamic brothers, what we have to look at is our parents. Are they really a burden upon us? No. They are a blessing for us. When a mother or a father lifts up their hand and they do dua, it is accepted. My sweet Islamic brothers, love your parents with all your heart. They are only here for a short period of time. You can have 2 brothers, 2 sisters, 2 aunties, 2 uncles, 2 grandmothers, 2 grandfathers, but you can even have 2 houses, 2 cars. You can have everything, double, triple, quadruple, but you will only ever have 1 mother and father. Respect your parents. It is very, very vital. If they give you dua, then Allah will accept that dua. If they give you badua, then Allah will accept that. What do you want? Love your parents wholeheartedly, and inshallah azza wa jal, you will be successful. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, when you watch, Sisla, before every segment and after every segment, the Mubalik of Dar al-Islami will say Sallu ala al-Habib, and we all say Sallallahu ala Muhammad Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just reciting that Durood-e Pak, the 70 doors of mercy are open just by reciting that. So if you are with us during the program, the number of segments that we have, and during each segment, before that segment and after that segment, we recite Sallu ala al-Habib and we recite Durood-e Pak Sallallahu ala Muhammad Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The doors of mercy are open for us. So please, whenever you are watching Rise and Shine or any program, join in with the Mubaliks when they are reciting Durood-e Pak. Before the break and today's topic, we talked about repentance, and we're talking about, you know, the fact that a whole nation survived as a result of repentance and what we need to do to repent, how we need to repent. But what we need to be very, very aware of is that repentance is not the same depending on the sin. For example, and I'm going to give you what is written in Siratul Jinan, volume 4, page 230. In this book, it states here that remember that the repentance of different sins is not the same. For example, if the right of Allah Azza wa Jalla has been violated, such as missing Salah, fast of Ramadan, Fard Zakat not being paid, Hajj has not been performed despite it being Fard upon them, then this repentance is that one should offer up the missed Salahs, observe that missed fast, pay that Zakat and perform Hajj. And one must also seek forgiveness for his sins from Allah Azza wa Jal with a deep sense of shame. So, for example, like we said earlier on, that if you've missed your Fajr prayer, then one, you need to be very, you know, embarrassed about the fact that you've done that, a little bit angry with yourself, and make a firm intention not to commit that sin again. And obviously put things into place not to do that again, and sincerely repent. But that's not enough. You need to go one step forward. What is that one step forward? Reading that Salatul Fajr. Reading that Salatul Fajr again, you know, well, not again, making up for that missed Salatul Fajr. For example, if you've missed any fasts, you've missed paying any zakat, and as we are told here, that if Hajj is farz upon you, and you've not performed that Hajj, that, you know, once it becomes farz upon you, it is farz upon you for the rest of your life. It's not as if it's farz upon you this year, next year you spent that money on building a koti back home or whatever you've done, and now all of a sudden you've no money. It's still farz upon you. So you need to make sure that you make up for what you've missed. And to explain to you in a worldly terms, that example, if, how can I explain this? If I was to give you £100 and you owe me £100 now, and you say to me, brother, don't worry, I'll give it you back on Friday, inshallah, before Jummah, I'll give you that money back. Okay? The time for Jummah comes on Friday, you've not given me that money back. Now you say, you know, effectively seek forgiveness from me. You say, brother, sorry, I'm not giving you that money back. Now, I'll say, okay, fair enough. It's up to me whether I accept that or not. But I'm not going to forgive you for that £100. I'm still wanting the £100 back. I'm going to say, okay, all right, TK, but can you give it me before Maghrib today? Or can you give it me tomorrow? Or can you give it me on Sunday? I still want that money back. Even though you've not done that act on time, you still have to perform that act. In the same way that if you've missed a salah, you have to make up for the missed salah. If you missed a fast, you have to make up for the missed fast. If you miss paying zakat, you have to pay it. If you've not performed the hajj that is farz upon you, you have to do it. And on that note, viewers of Madinah Inshallah, I humbly request each and every one of you that if, for example, you have missed your salah or you've missed your fast, then sit down. Sit down and make a record of all those salah that you've missed. Make a record of all those fasts that you've made. Make a record of all that zakat that you've not paid. And if you've not performed the hajj, if you've not performed the hajj, then make an intention that, Ya Allah, as soon as the opportunity arises this year, maybe, I don't know, maybe as a result of the current situation, I will not be able to be permitted to perform the hajj. But Ya Allah, as soon as the doors of hajj are opened, I will perform the hajj. And if it is this year, I will do it. If it's not this year, I will do it next year. And as soon as I have the opportunity, not as I have the opportunity, as soon as it is available for me to do it, not as if I have the opportunity that, you know, I've got enough money, you've already hajj is farz upon you. And make that intention. And you know, when it comes to hajj, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you hajj becomes farz upon you and you do not perform the hajj that is farz upon you, this is how serious it is. If you do not perform the hajj that is farz upon you, then you run the risk of dying without your iman. You run the risk of dying without your iman. And iman is the most valuable gift that we have got. And you need to protect that and secure that. And if hajj is farz upon you, then you need to ensure you that you perform that hajj. Again, we're slightly branching off the topic, but coming back to missed salahs again. Missed salahs and missed fasts. If you've missed any salahs, missed any fasts, then again, make a record of them. And there is a booklet of Amir al-Sunnah, a method of making up missed salahs, that if you have, or if you made a list, that this is the number of Fajr I missed, the number of Zuhr I missed, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, make a list of them. And you know how to make them up. What is the easiest way to make up the missed salah? How should you should do it? I think from memory, but I think it's better to consult from that book. For example, the Salatul Fajr, you read the Salatul Fajr as you normally do. And then at Zuhr, instead of reading the two Nafl, instead of reading the two Nafl at the end, you do Niyad, that I'm making up for the missed Fajr that I have missed. And so you read two Fajr. At Asr, instead of reading the four Sunnat, you read the Qaza of the four Farz from Zuhr. At Maghrib, instead of making the two Nafl at the end, you read four Rakat Asr. Yeah, this is all written down in the book, so don't worry, you don't have to remember everything I'm saying to you. You make up the four rakat of the Salatul Asr, and now at Isha, in that namaz, you make up the missed Maghrib, and you also make up the missed Isha as well. One thing to note, that part of the missed namazes are your two farz at Fajr, your four farz at Zuhr, your four farz at Asr, your three farz at Maghrib, but at Isha, your missed Salah is also not only the four farz, but it's also the three witr as well, and you need to make them up as well. And there are tips inside that book of how to make them up, and there are also tips inside that book of how to make them up if, for example, you are in the masjid. For example, you're reading Salatul Isha, and the guidance in there is how to perform the Salatul Witr. If you're reading Salatul Isha, and you making up the Salatul Isha as well, then when you do the Salatul Witr as you would normally do, then, you know, when you're doing the Dua Kanaud, you raise your hands, etc. But when you're doing it up as your Misalah, right? Because people are watching that, oh, he's already ready to Salatul Witr. What's he doing now? And people might ask you, what are you doing? And part of it, one of the things in Islam is not only should you not commit sins, but what you should also do, you should make a also make sure that you don't expose your sins to people. You don't tell people that, oh, I'm gonna, you know, why were you so long in the masjid? Yeah, everybody left the masjid, you were still there. Oh, I was making up my misalah. Right? Oh, sure. You should not expose your sins. It is a sin to expose your sins. So them are the sins that if you've committed them, you need to make up from them. You know, salah, fasting, zakah, and hajj. However, other sins, for example, if you are the sins that you committed with your eyes, your ears, your tongue, if you have looked at non-mahram women, if you've sat in the masjid in a state of janabat, if you've touched the Holy Quran without wuzu, if you've drank alcohol, if you've listened to music, if you've committed any of these sins, the repentance for them is to confess his sins, confess that you've committed these sins, and have a deep regret over these sins, and make a firm intention never to commit these sins. In this manner, one should sincerely seek forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal. And after seeking forgiveness, he should perform some good deeds, because good deeds, viewers of Madinah, this is again very, very important. Good deeds erases them sins that you have committed. So again, we should make sure that we do good deeds as well. Viewers of Madinah channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and Alhamdulillah, one of the things that we have every day is a daily hadith of the day. The daily hadith of the day. So inshallah, we're now going to go to the daily hadith of the day, inshallah, azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Rise and Shine, inshallah, azza wa jal. In today's daily hadith, we will hear of a few beautiful traits that we ought to implement in our daily lives, insha'Allah ta'ala. Sayyidina Mu'az ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ حَيْسُمَا كُنْتَ وَأَتْبِئِ السَّيِّئَةِ الْحَسَنَةَ تَحْمُهَا. That have taqwa, fear Allah azza wa jal, wherever you may be, and follow up a bad deed with a good deed, which will wipe out the former bad deed. وَخَالِكِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ, and behave well towards the people. So in this hadith, three things have been mentioned. Firstly, taqwa. Taqwa, which means to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to protect oneself from the severe punishment of Allah ta'ala. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and who also defines taqwa as fearing Allah, adhering to his commandments, being content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed one with, and getting ready for the day of judgment. So taqwa is one of the most comprehensive aspects of Islam, one could say. The second piece of advice given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to follow up a bad deed with a good deed. Yani if one unfortunately ends up committing a sin, then he should immediately perform tawbah, he should repent and then revert to good deeds. And then subhanallah, the third piece of advice from the most well-natured individual ever, none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is to behave well towards the people by coming across to them with a good code of conduct and not harming them in any way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to ponder over this beautiful hadith and implement it in our lives so that we too can attain the blessings of both worlds. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah. Viewers of Madinah Channel, we've just listened to the daily hadith of the day, and today we've been talking about repentance. I want to give you a story that's narrated in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to the companions that imagine a person in the middle of the desert. He tells us about this story. He said there's a little person in the middle of the desert. The person in the middle of the desert, he has his camel with him. It's the middle of the day. It's hot. The sun is blazing down. And as he's walking through the middle of the desert, all of a sudden he looks to his side and he realizes that he's lost the camel. The camel's disappeared. And obviously you can understand that when you're in the middle of the desert, your camel is your lifeline. Your camel is everything. It's carrying your provisions. It's a method of transport. It has everything with it. And so the person, he panics and he climbs up to the sand dunes and he looks here and there and he's looking for the camel. And in his mind, he's saying to himself that the longer it takes me to see where the camel is, or the longer it takes me to find where the camel is, the further and further the camel is getting away. But because it's the blazing heat is getting there, because he's panicking, he eventually exhausts himself and he gets tired. So he lies down, takes a break, gets a bit of a rest. And he wakes up, gets himself up and starts looking for the camel now. But he's panicking even more now because the camel is potentially getting further and further away. But again, because of the blazing heat, he exhausts himself and he lies down and takes some rest. The third time he gets up again, and this time he's really panicking. This time he realizes, you know what, if I don't find this, I've got no chance. And after the third time, he lies down and thinks to himself that that's it. I'm not going to get out of this. I'm in the middle of the desert. I'm not going to get relief from here. And he basically lies down and waits for the angel of death. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then goes on to say that all of a sudden he opens his eyes and he sees the camel in front of him. Allahu Akbar. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to the companions that how happy do you think that person would be? And ask yourself the question, how happy do you think that person would be? He's in the middle of the desert. He's lost his lifeline. He's lost his provisions. And all of a sudden he finds them. Obviously he's going to be very, very happy. He's going to be relieved. He's going to be so happy that he's found his life again. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah azza wa jal is more happy with his bondsman who repents in the court of Allah azza wa jal than that person would be happy in finding the camel that he has lost. So repentance, viewers of Madri Channel, makes Allah azza wa jal, is a way of attaining the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal. And we need to remember that sometimes as humans we commit sins. We commit sins. And what we need to do is sincerely repent from those sins. And if we commit that sin again, then we need to repent again. And if we commit that sin again, we need to repent again. And we need to keep on doing this. Undoubtedly, you know, we are human beings. If every time we sincerely make that intention, then I'm never going to commit that sin. For example, you know, we keep on missing Salatul Fajr. And so you miss Salatul Fajr, so you set two alarms. Yeah, but them alarms don't work. Your battery goes dead on your phone. Repent again. You set the alarm, but this time you're half asleep and you switch the phone off. As long as you're not doing it on purpose in the sense that, oh, you know, I'll repent from this sin after it's okay. No, you've set that alarm and in your sleep, some people, what they do is they hit the phone. Or for example, whatever reason, you don't get up, sincerely repent each and every time and sincerely make an intention that you're not going to commit that sin again. And if we have this intention, then inshallah azza wa jal will be successful. Allah azza wa jal says in the Quran, and I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman, Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 39. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, those who repents after his injustice and amends, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will turn to him with his mercy. Undoubtedly, Allah Azza wa Jalla is forgiving and merciful. With regards to this verse in Tafsir Siratul Jinan, it states that repentance is an extremely good thing, no matter how major the sin is. If one repents, then Allah Azza wa Jalla forgives his right and grants the repenter salvation from punishment in the hereafter. So viewers of Madinah Channel, we need to get into a habit of repenting from the sins that we've committed. And we need to be, I think the first thing that we need to do though, before we repent from the sins that we've committed, is we need to be aware that we are committing sins. I mean, obviously there will be no Muslim that's watching this that'll know that, you know, it is not obligatory upon me to fast during the month of Ramadan. It's not not obligatory on me to pray five times a day. It's not obligatory on me to pay the zakat. It's not obligatory on me to... But, you know, people may... The other sins that we mentioned briefly, maybe you're not even aware that you're committing them sins. So attach yourself to pious people. Attach yourself to a good environment. Attach yourself to the environment of Dawah Islamiyah so you can become aware of them sins. And if you were to go to our website, www.dawahislamiyah.net, on there, there are many, many booklets, many, many leaflets about countless different sins and what them sins are, to be aware of them sins and what them cure for them sins are. If only we can make a habit of reading them booklets, inshallah, azawajal. We've now got another kalam for you. Beautiful kalam, inshallah, azawajal. It's one that I've been wanting to listen to for a few days, inshallah. So hopefully we can listen to this kalam together, inshallah, azawajal. So please stay tuned, inshallah. We're going to continue with this topic of repentance, inshallah, azawajal. But please listen to this kalam with us as well. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Kismat mein meri chain se jeena likh de doobe na kabhi mera safina likh de jannat to thikana تو ٹھکانہ ہے مگر میرے لیے اے کاتب تقدیر مدینہ لکھ دے تاجدار حرم حرم تاجدار حرم حرم تاجدار حرم ہو نگاہ کرم تاجدارِ حرم ہو کرم تاجدارِ حرم
تاجدارِ حرم ہو نگاہِ کرم ہم غریبوں کے دل بھی سنور جائیں گے والیِ بے کساں حامیِ بے کساں کیا کہے گا جہاں آپ کے در سے خالی اگر جائیں گے
کرم تاجدارِ حرم ہو نگاہِ کرم ہو کرم تاجدارِ حرم ہو کرم تاجدارِ حرم
کوئی اپنا نہیں غم کے مارے ہیں ہم کوئی اپنا نہیں غم کے مارے ہیں ہم آپ کے در پہ فریاد لائے ہیں ہم ہو نگاہ کرم ہو کرم ہو نگاہ کرم ورنہ چوکھٹ پہ ہم آپ کا نام لے کے مر جائیں گے
ہو کرم تاجدار حرم ہو نگاہ کرم ہو کرم تاجدار حرم ہو کرم تاجدار حرم
تم سے کہوں اے رب کے کنور تم جنت ہو من کی بتیا در فرقت تو اے ام لقب کاٹے نہ کٹت ہے اب رتیا توری پریت میں سد پت سب بسری کب تک یہ رہے گی بے خبری گاہے بفگن دز دید نظر کبھی سن بھی تو لو ہمری بتیا
کرم تاجدار حرم ہو نگاہ کرم ہو کرم تاجدار حرم ہو کرم تاجدار حرم
میں کشوں مدینے چلے میں کشوں مدینے چلے
آؤ مدینے چلے آؤ مدینے چلے چلو مدینے چلے آؤ مدینے چلے
دکھ رنجو لمبا چھٹتے ہیں حسنین کے صدقے بٹتے ہیں
مدینے چلے چلو مدینے چلے چلو مدینے چلے آؤ مدینے چلے
تجلیوں کی عجب ہے فضا مدینے میں نگاہ شوق کی ہے انتہا مدینے میں غم حیات نہ خوف قضا مدینے میں نماز عشق کریں گے ادا مدینے میں ادھر ادھر نہ نہ بھٹکتے پھرو خدا کے لیے براہ راست ہے راہ خدا مدینے میں
مدینے چلے آؤ مدینے چلے چلو مدینے چلے آؤ مدینے چلے
میں کشو مدینے چلے میں کشو مدینے چلے دست ساقی کوثر سے پینے چلے یاد رکھو اگر اٹھ گئی ایک نظر جتنے خالی ہیں سب جام بھر جائیں گے
کرم تاجدار حرم ہو نگاہ کرم ہو کرم تاجدار حرم ہو کرم تاجدار حرم
اللہ صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم آؤ مدینہ چلے چلے مدینہ چلے اللہ اکبر اینڈ سم فارچونیٹ پیپل ہیو میڈ اٹ این انیول ہیبٹ اور الحمد للہ دیٹ دے گو ایوری ایئر اینڈ ڈو اعتکاف ان مسجد النبی اینڈ دوز پیپل دے بی سٹنگ ایٹ ہوم ناؤ اینڈ تھنکنگ ٹو دمسیلوز دیٹ دس ایئر وی ناٹ بینگ بلیسڈ ود دی اپورچونیٹی آئی پرے دیٹ اللہ عز و جل دوز پیپل دیٹ آئی میک دس انٹینشن ایوری ایئر دین انشاءاللہ دے ول بی Hopefully, inshallah, they will be rewarded for their intention as well. Viewers of Mother Channel, we've been talking today about repentance. With regards to seeking forgiveness, Sayyidina Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq, radiallahu ta'ala, said that true repentance, he was asked about true repentance, and he said it means that a person repents of his bad deed in such a way that he never commits that sin again. If we truly repent, if only we truly repent, you know, I really sincerely hope and pray that if there's anybody that's watching this program now, and if you have habitually missed your salah, then repent. Repent now. Don't leave repentance tomorrow. Repent now in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Repent right now. You know, I don't care if you switch off this program now, yeah, and don't listen to the remainder of that program, but repent in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Repent in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Try and shed a tear in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Ya Allah, I've not been reading my namaz. I've been missing my salah. But Ya Allah, make a firm intention today, right now, that I'm not going to miss any more salahs again. And start making up for that missed salah. You know, a Muslim has 3 days in his life. Only 3 days. Yes, only 3 days. What are those days? Yesterday. Yesterday's gone. Yesterday's gone. Whatever you've done yesterday, yes, you can repent about what you've done yesterday, but you cannot change what happened yesterday. You cannot go back and do anything yesterday. What has happened. Tomorrow. Tomorrow might not come. Tomorrow might not come. We have no guarantees about tomorrow. I have no guarantee, and the people that are here in the studio, the technical staff are here, the people that are watching me tomorrow, what guarantee can you give me that we will see tomorrow? No guarantee. The only day you have is today. If you want to make a change, make it today. You know, some people might be watching, oh yeah, okay, tomorrow's Friday. Friday, I'll make a change. No, make it today. Today's the day. If you want to make a change, make it today. I sincerely pray that the viewers of Mother Channel, if you have been missing your salah, then please make a change. So please make a firm intention to make up for this and make a change inside yourself. Make a change. And you are the ones that can make the change. I can only guide you with the Mubaligh and Dawah Islami, can only tell you what you should or what you should not do or advise you otherwise. But the only person that can make you change is you. You're the one that needs to change. You're the one that needs to say to yourself that no matter what, I am going to make sure I read my namaz 5 times a day. No matter what, I'm going to fast during the month of Ramadan. No matter what, today, as soon as this program finishes, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to get my calculator out, I'm going to get my pen and paper out, I'm going to work out what assets I've got, I'm going to phone up a scholar and say, look, these are all my assets, these are all my debts, what zakat do I need to pay? And make a firm intention to pay that zakat as soon as possible. Make these intentions. Repent from what you have not done, but also make them firm intention to make up for the future. With regards to repentance, Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala has narrated
that Sayyidina Muaz bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala humbly said. He said, with regards to repentance, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, it means that a person feels ashamed of the sin that he's committed. He then seeks forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal, and then he never returns to this sin, such as a milk does not return to its udder. Allahu Akbar. And he Sayyidina Ibn Masood said, by making tawbah, all sins are forgiven. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives a beautiful example there, that when milk comes out of an udder, it doesn't go back in. Yeah. It doesn't go back in. So when we commit a sin, make that intention never to commit a sin again, never to go back to that way that you were doing before, never to do the same things that you were doing before. And we need to make this change inside ourselves. And yet it's not easy, but we need to, because time is short. Time is short. We don't know how long we've got. And, you know, we don't want to die in a state that all our lives we've been committing sins. Die in a state that all our lives we've never seek the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jal. Die in a state where we've never repented. Die in a state where we've never made an intention to make up for the mistakes. You know, I mentioned the example where if you record all the missed salah that you've done, if you record all the missed fast that you've done, and you start making them up, and you sincerely make an intention, make them up, then if Allah Azza wa Jal sends the angel of death to you and seizes your soul, then inshallah Azza wa Jal, through the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, because you made a firm intention to make up for all of that, and you tried to make up for all of that, then inshallah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive you. But the condition is firm intention. Not only a firm intention, but making a habit of giving up that. Making a habit of reading them namaz again that you missed, performing them fast that you've missed. If only we make this intention. Viewers of Madani Channel, please, for your own sake, please, repent in the court of Allah. Please make up for them sins that you've committed. There are countless blessings that are attained by attaining true blessings. And all sins, we are told, of the repenter are forgiven. Therefore, we should humbly repent in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Holy Quran, Surah An-Nisa, verse 17, the repentance whose acceptance has been undertaken by Allah Azza wa Jal with His own grace is only for those who do evil ignorantly and then again repent soon after. Allah Azza wa Jal turns towards such people with His mercy. Allahu Akbar. And Allah is knowing and wise. If the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal is turned towards you, Allahu Akbar. So viewers of Madinah Channel, please, repent. We now got a small package here, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal. The blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal and our responsibility. We're now going to take this small package, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal. Please stay tuned and we'll continue talking about this and how we can talk about the sin and the sinner, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal. Talk about after this break. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A true good dream is from Allah. A true good.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Viewers of Madani Channel, we are on the way to Kaghan in Pakistan. And look at the scene. While watching these scenes, we remember the bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the power of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Imagine if Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made this dunya, this world, much beautiful. High mountains, rivers, fountains. So how would be the Jannah? Jannat is made only for the Muslim, the person who has believed in God, the person who has believed in Allah, in His all prophets, the one who obey His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. When we see these scenes, so we get amazed. But Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Holy Quran at various places that the akhirah, hereafter, is for those people, they have believed in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And those people, they follow the footsteps of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We are not here to enjoy only this life. We are here to worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And look at the circle of our life. When we were not here, these things were here. At the moment, we are here. But after some time, this is our belief. Nobody can deny this fact that one day we will have to die. We will have to leave this dunya. This life is maximum for 60, 70, 80 approx years. Nobody is going to live here forever. But the life which is after this life, that is unlimited. There is no limitation for that. Even there won't be any death. When we know all of that, so why we disobey Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? Why don't we follow the footsteps of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? If you want the bounties in this dunya and also hereafter, so we have to worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We have to live this life according to Sharia, according to Quran and Sunnah. So my dear Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah, Dawat-e-Islami gives us the right way, the easiest way to follow the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. So please join Dawat-e-Islami, have the Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami all over the world, wherever you are living, so you can join Dawat-e-Islami. So please travel in Madani Qafilas, practice upon the Madani In'amat. So inshallah azza wa jal, you will be successful in this dunya and also hereafter. We make dua in the holy court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the one who has created the mountains, the one and only who is the Malik, the owner, the Lord of all these creations, the one who has created us, the one who gives us sustenance, the one who is Razak, who is Malik Yawmiddin, who is Rahman, who is Sattar, who is Ghaffar. All beauties and all good things belong to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So don't forget Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, He will give you peace in your mind, in your life. May Allah give us tawfiq and power to admire Him, to make shukr to His bounties, and to live as He wishes to live as a Muslim in this dunya. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, some beautiful Madani pearls there from Asad Madani, MashaAllah. But a beautiful brother, MashaAllah. He's very, very active within the environment of Dawat Islami. He's responsible for a lot of the work that's taking place on Madani channel as well. Beautiful brother, and beautiful tips that he gave us there about the fact that in this dunya, you know, we're here for a limited time. We need to sort ourselves out, basically. And you know, whilst I was listening to that, a beautiful hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to mind. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that if a person was to put his finger in the ocean, if he was to put his finger in the ocean and he was to look at his finger, and he said that the water that is on the finger, this is the dunya. The water that is in the akhirat, the water that is in the ocean, that is the akhirat. And as the Mubalik of Dawat Islami said there, mashallah, he said that, you know, that is an unlimited time. Here, you're here for 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, but the afterlife, the akhirat. And, you know, and it makes you think that, you know, from what I was listening to what he was saying, it makes you think that, you know, we're running after this. This water on our hand, where we're not running after the ocean, the water in the ocean. And how foolish is a man that he runs after this when he has this available to him. The ocean is available to him, but he leaves the ocean and he runs after this. So viewers of Madani channel, please, you know, he gives us a beautiful invitation towards righteousness, that to correct ourselves, to sort ourselves, to rectify ourselves, to travel in the way of Allah, to travel in the Madani kaflas. And obviously one of the best ways of rectifying yourself is adjusting yourself to the environment of Dawat Islami, where you're in an environment where you can make a habit of making sure that you do those things that you should be doing, refraining from those things that you shouldn't be doing, making a habit of sincerely repenting in the court of Allah. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about repentance and how we should all repent. The beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever likes that his book of deeds should make him happy. You know, you have a book of deeds. Whatever deeds you are committed is written down. Yes. Everything you do is written down. You know, you may think that, you know what, I can switch off the light and nobody will see me. You think, oh, I'll close the door, nobody can hear me. You think I'll go to another place and nobody will see me. But Allah Azza wa Jal hears everything, sees everything, knows everything, and every single thing that you have done, every single thing you have done is written down. Allahu Akbar. You know, before I finish this hadith, that how, you know, if you were to, at your book of deeds, everything that you've done, could you open that book in front of your family and say, here, read it? Think about that. Because that book of deeds will be opened. One day that book of deeds will be opened and everybody will be able to see what deeds you have committed, what sins you have committed, what good deeds you have committed, and I pray that there are more good deeds than there are sins. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that whoever likes that his book of deeds should make him happy, then he should increase istighfar, i.e. increase repentance in it. That we should continuously repent for the sins that we have committed. It is mentioned in another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these are beautiful hadiths, viewers of Madinah channel. If we remember these hadiths that I'm going to tell you about, that if you remember them, then inshallah it might encourage you. It should encourage you to repent in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. It should encourage you to stay away from them sins and stay away from committing them sins and seek repentance in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who repents is like the one who has not committed that sin at all. You know, it's like you got your book of deeds there, you repent and you're rubbing out them sins. You're removing them sins from your book of deeds. Ask yourself, are you happy with your book? Are you happy with what's written in it? Can you show it to everybody and say, yeah, have a look at this, I've got nothing to worry about. And you can't cheat, you can't show them the good pages and hide the bad pages. No, on the day of judgment, all the pages will be open. Every single page will be open. Every single thing that you did will be there. Furthermore, it is stated in a blessed hadith that when Iblis, Shaitan said, he said, oh my Rabb, Azza wa Jal, I swear an oath on your honor, I will continue to incite your bondsmen as long as their souls are in their bodies. Allah Azza wa Jal replied, Allahu Akbar. Listen to this, my viewers of Bandi Chaam. By my honor and glory, I will continue to forgive them so long as they beg for my forgiveness. Allahu Akbar. Shaitan is going to carry on doing his job. He will continue to incite you to commit sin. He will continue 24/7 to commit all sorts of sins. But the doors of mercy are always open. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that, yes, okay, but there as long I will continue to forgive them. I will continue to forgive them as long as they seek my mercy. So viewers of Madinah channel, we need to continually seek the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, continually seek forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Viewers of Madinah channel, we are coming slowly towards the end of the program. Not a long time left, but we've got a package regarding Dawah Islami, a promo regarding some of the works that are happening in Dawah Islami. And hopefully you'll get an interest to see what is happening in Dawah Islami. It's a documentary with regards to the work that is taking place within Dawah Islami. So please stay tuned and watch this documentary, inshallah. And afterwards, we'll talk a little bit about it and we'll start to finish the program on the topic that we have today. So please watch this documentary. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
In 1981, from the city of Pakistan, Karachi, the legendary personality filled with the fear of Allah and the love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, Maulana Ilyas Qadri, had established Dawat-e-Islami with the passion to reform the Ummah and had resolved that I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world. Time kept passing, Amir Ahl-Sunnah kept working while remaining firm on his resolve, and the message of calling towards righteousness started spreading. In a short period of time, the world saw that the preachers of Dawat-e-Islami are delivering dars in thousands of masajid daily. Weekly, provincial and international congregations are being held across the country and abroad. When it came to spreading this message of Islam to every village and every town, Dawat-e-Islami followed the footsteps of our pious predecessors and started traveling in qafilas for calling towards righteousness. To convey the message of Islam and Sunnah to those who don't understand Urdu, various books and videos were translated in 35 languages and dubbed in 15 languages. The invitation towards righteousness is presented even to the neglected class of the society, that is mute, deaf and blind people in sign language and braille. And then Dawat-e-Islami took another initiative and launched a TV channel named Madani Channel. The beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has commanded us to pay a laborer his wages before his sweat dries. Do something in your life that helps you after death. So a system should be made through which virtues continue to be donated to us after our death. What the deceased need is reward. Only good deeds help in the grave. After Urdu, English.
And when you look at your own faults, it will prevent you, it will stop you from finding faults in other people as well.
And Bangla were separately launched for those who understand English and Bengali language, and separate transmission for children. These channels are currently being watched through 6 major satellites of the world. When digital media started dominating the print and electronic media, Dawat Islami started spreading the message of Islam in this field also through its website, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter and Instagram, etc. to its 14 million users and is benefiting the Ummah through numerous apps like Global Salah Times and Hajj and Umrah. In addition to reforming the Ummah, Dawat-e-Islami established Darul Ifta Ahl-e-Sunnat to provide them with Sharia guidance and to bring educational and reforming books to the Ummah in a beautiful manner. An Islamic research center named Al-Madinatul Ilmiya was founded, which is running with success. Along with purchasing non-Muslims worshipping places and converting them into masajid, Dawat-e-Islami constructs on average 2 masajid every day in the country and abroad, which adds up to over 600 masajid annually. Dawat-e-Islami established educational institutions named Jami'atul Madina and Madrasatul Madina to teach Hifz and Nazara Quran, where no fees are charged. Jami'atul Madina is teaching Dars-e-Nizami to around 64,000 male and female students through approximately 775 Jami'at in the country and abroad, as well as providing academic education, English language course, computer courses and Mufti course. Similarly, Dawat-e-Islami is providing Hifz and Nazra education of the Holy Quran to around 169,000 students in 3,790 branches of Madrasatul Madina. And up to now, 80,000 plus boys and girls have finished memorizing the Holy Quran, and over 241,000 boys and girls have finished Nazra Quran. Those children, adults, women or the elderly who don't have access to the masjid or madrasa for any reason, Madrasatul Madina online with its 30 branches is working for them, where they may recite and memorize the Holy Quran and do numerous other Islamic courses. Similarly, for academic education, there is Darul Madina schooling system, which offers quality education in an Islamic environment through more than 84 branches in Pakistan and abroad. With the passion to spread the invitation towards righteousness, Dawat-e-Islami focused on those incarcerated in prisons and started to reform and provide guidance to them. I salute all the workers and administration of Madani Channel.
La ilaha illallah.
New Muslim courses are held to provide guidance to the newly reverted people who embrace Islam after being inspired by the preachers of Dawat-e-Islami.
New Muslim course.
Muslim course.
Muslim course.
New Muslim course.
The shrines of Awliya are certainly a means of attaining spirituality. To provide guidance to the visitors of these shrines, Dawat-e-Islami has established a department named Majlis-e-Mazarat-e-Awliya. If an earthquake, flood or any other catastrophe hits Pakistan or any other place in the world, as Dawat-e-Islami is seen helping the victims in those areas, similarly, it remains busy in activities like plantation campaigns to avoid those calamities. 1 billion plants should be sowed in my beloved homeland. 12 plants each. It's possible if you try. Assisted by millions of volunteers, this system of Dawat-e-Islami, which is engaged in more than 100 departments for the reformation of the Ummah, is being run by the Central Executive Board of Dawat-e-Islami. In addition, over 30,000 employees have been hired under Dawat-e-Islami, and to supervise the financial matters of Dawat-e-Islami, professional chartered accountants are at service who are paid salaries by Dawat-e-Islami, and thus, Dawat-e-Islami sponsors these 30,000 families and contributes to the economic development of the country. From time to time, meetings are held with honorable dignitaries from Pakistan and abroad, and up to now, many important figures have visited the Global Islamic Center Faizan-e-Madina. Cooperate with Dawat-e-Islami in spreading the call towards righteousness all around the world.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, we've got a screen here in the studio and I was watching that documentary and it was amazing. Alhamdulillah, it makes you realize that you feel proud and happy to be part of an organization that is doing so much work, not only here in the UK, but all around the world. And this is all through the efforts of one person. That one person, he remained steadfast and he said that no matter what, I will spread the deen of Islam and I will rectify the people of the whole world, inshallah. And he's been doing that. Day and night, we're seeing the expansion of Dawat-e-Islami. Here in the UK, there's some of the departments that were mentioned. as I was watching that program, alhamdulillah, I was so happy, honestly, mashallah. I'd just like to congratulate the technical team that made that documentary. It's a beautiful documentary. I think it should be released on social media, and hopefully we can spread it amongst people as well. But as you can see from that, there's so much work is happening, and obviously the costs incurred in doing so much work here. If I just talk very, very briefly here in the UK, they mentioned, mashallah, the Jamiat al-Madinah. What is Jamiat al-Madinah? Jamiat al-Madinah is that institute in which the future scholars are being created. And here in the UK, we have 9 jamias for the brothers and 2 jamias for the sister, with an intention, inshallah, more jamias will open. Madrasat al-Madinah, more than 4,000 children, alhamdulillah, are in our Madrasat al-Madinahs here in the UK. And we have more than 60, approximately 60 buildings here in the UK as well, where madrasas are taking place, jamias are taking place, masjids are taking place, courses are taking place, all the activities of Dawah Islamiyah. And one of the things that was mentioned in there is, mashallah, the work in jails. And here also, the work takes place in the jails, that there's a team of brothers that are going to the jails literally during every week, 2 or 3 visits to the jails, going, teaching the people that are in the jail, helping the people that are in the jail, running the courses that are in the jail. So there's so much that is taking place. And I think, you know, and I'm excited because it was such a beautiful documentary. But I think, you know, if we were to do a program on what is Dawat Islami, then it would take a lot more than just 10 minutes. Because that's basically just like scratch the surface. You know, you see like an iceberg and you got the tip of the iceberg. That was just the tip of the iceberg. You know, I could talk all day here about what is happening just here in the UK. You know, it started in 1981. And then from then, within a short period of time, yes, it is only a short period of time. What are we talking? Not even 40 years, my dear brothers. Less than 40 years, a revolution has taken place. A change has taken place in the hearts of people. You know, and I sometimes personally, I think to myself, you know, if Dawat Islami wasn't here, where would I be? You know, where would we be if it wasn't for the efforts of Sheikh Tariqat Amir al-Sunnah? Surely, without a doubt, I wouldn't be here now talking to you. And you know, the other thing is that amazes me that Amir al-Sunnah, what he does to people is, there's two parts, that I must strive to rectify myself, and I must strive to rectify the people of the whole world. And this is the mission statement of Dawat Islami. And what's amazing about it is, that when you come into the environment of Dawah Islami, when you join the brothers and the sisters, they join the work and they start doing the work, what happens is the first intention is the first part. Nobody joins or attaches themselves to the environment of Dawah Islami that I'm going to rectify the people of the whole world. There are some people, very few, mashallah, that join. They join as scholars, they join as muftis. Alhamdulillah, we have had muftis that were muftis before Dawah Islami. They've joined Dawah Islami. They were scholars that were scholars before Dawah Islami, and they joined Dawah Islami. But the majority of the people like me, we will join or attach ourselves to Dawah Islami with the intention, you know what? I need to sort myself out. I need to sort myself out. I'm not on the right path. I need to sort myself out. And we seek the help of the Muballighs of Dawah Islami. We seek the help of the books. And mashallah, I mentioned that the books, 35 different languages the books have been translated into, which again is such a huge achievement. Yeah, 35 languages the books have been translated in. We seek the help from them, and we join the environment of Dawah Islami to sort ourselves out. But Amir al-Sunnah, in his booklets, Amir al-Sunnah in his speeches, Amir al-Sunnah in his Madani Muzakras, and I'll talk about them as well, he puts the pen in your heart. Yeah, he puts that seed in your heart that, okay, you're here now, you're sorting yourself out, but what about everywhere else? And then you start having this jazba inside you, this emotion inside you, this enthusiasm inside you that I'm sorting myself out, and I'm going to continue to do this. It's not as if I'm sorted. Nobody should ever think that I'm sorted. I'm continuing to strive to rectify myself, but at the same time, I will also try to rectify other people as well. And they mentioned some of the activities there, but here in the UK, alhamdulillah, we have Balighan classes where people that if you've, you know, past that age, you're in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, and you're not going to be sitting with the Imam Sahib in the masjid now with the madrasa with the kids learning the Quran, and you forgot how to read it. What do? Dawat Islami provides for you. Balighan classes take place every single day. And in some areas, so many classes are taking place, and so many people attend them gatherings. You know, Madani Daras, we mentioned earlier on that at Fajr, you go and sit and listen to 3 ayats of the Quran translation and commentary. The Madani Kaflas, when you travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, just think to yourself, you as a Madani channel, you watch one program of Dawat Islami on Madani channel. One program. You've watched Rise and Shine this morning, hopefully. And I pray and I hope that you've learned something. If in this 1 hour, 1.5 hours, you've learned something, just think to yourself, what would you learn if you travel 3 days in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal? And you know the enthusiasm of the brothers? Some brothers don't just travel 3 days. No. 7 days. 12 days. And before the current situation that we had in the UK, with the lockdown that happened, we had brothers that were traveling and made an intention, not only made an intention, but were actually doing it. They were traveling for 12 months in a Madri Kafla, from city to city, and we had the whole of the UK map arranged where they were traveling all over the UK, masjid to masjid, city to city, and then they were going to travel abroad as well. So this is the enthusiasm that is brought about. And you need to attach yourself to this environment to make the change. And so many things were mentioned. And one of the things that you saw, mashallah, you saw Amir al-Sunnat there. One of the things that happens is that Amir al-Sunnat, every Saturday night, he has a Madani Muzakra. And in this, what is a Madani Muzakra? Madani Muzakra is where we take pearls of wisdom from Amir al-Sunnat. Any question is asked, and he will give us the answer. And if he is unsure, then he's got the muftis and the scholars there, and he gives us the answer. And you know, whenever I watch the Madani Muzakras, a thought comes to my mind. A thought comes to my mind that people write in books about those fortunate people that were sitting in the court of our pious predecessors, that in the courts of pious predecessors, they used to sit there and listen to them and gain knowledge from them. You know, and you listen to, you read these books and you think to yourself, you know, how lucky them people were, that they were able to sit in the court of these pious people, that they were able to learn directly from these pious people. Viewers of Money Channel, heed my words, one day people will write in their books about those fortunate people that were able to sit in the Madani Muzakras, those fortunate people that were able to listen to the words of Amir al-Sunnat, those fortunate people that were able to get guidance from Amir al-Sunnat. Oh, and people will wish, they will wish that they were able to do that. So viewers of Madani Channel, please watch Madani Muzakra. Watch the program in which Madani Amir al-Sunnat guides us. And another thing that Dawah Islami does is it does collectively, we gather together. In this building where I'm sat today, people gather together and watch the Madani Muzakras every Saturday night as well. So do this collectively, because when you're doing it collectively, you're not distracted, you're not doing other things. Because when you sat with people, you're not playing on your phone. When you sat with people, you're not going making a cup of tea. When you sat with people, you're not eating your dinner. You're not doing anything else. Collectively sitting, collectively concentrating, and collectively learning something. I can say so much. So much I can say to you about Dawah Islami, and just watching that documentary, it pleased me so much. What can I say about Nigrani Shura? I will give you one waqia. I'll just give you one very, very quick waqia. Time is very, very short. And this will show to you the pain that he has inside him for the Ummah. The pain inside. You know, I remember once that he came to the UK, he blessed us in the UK. And he came to the UK and here, after the Ishtima, people wanted to meet him. And so there was a line. Yeah, there was a line of people. And I was stood on the left-hand side of Amir al-Sunnat. And as people were, I was allowing people to come forward and they were meeting him. And one person came and his child was disabled. And his child didn't have the mental, you know, he's mentally disabled as well. And he came and he asked Nigrani Shura to do dam on this child and do dua for this child. And Nigrani Shura, he grabbed his forehead, put his blessed hand on his forehead, did dua for him and then did dam on him. And as soon as that person started to move, I could see tears coming down from the eyes of Nigrani Shura. And he was crying to such an extent that I had to stop the line. He could not, he was not in a state to meet anybody. He couldn't meet anybody. And I don't know how long it was, maybe a minute, maybe 2 minutes. And I said to him, are you okay? And he said that I remember that my son also had an accident. And when my son had an accident for a few days, he'd lost his memory. Yeah. And the pain that I went through for them few days, this father is having to go through it for his whole life. Yeah. And it was just the pain. You know, we see this. We see what's happening. But do we have the pain for the Ummah? I've seen Nigrani Shura that when he hears how the Ummah is, you know, I remember he said to the Mubaliks of Dawah Islami, that we were sat there, all the Mubaliks were sat there, and he said to us that, you know, don't come to me with your problems, yeah? I don't have a tissue for your problems. I have a tissue for the Ummah. I want to wipe the tears of the Ummah. You, yeah, we'll solve the problems. Yeah, toughen yourself up. We need to solve, we have a tissue in our pocket for the Ummah of the Rasul. And this is the pain that he has. And honestly, I've not had the opportunity to spend as much time with Amir al-Sunnat, but the time that I've spent with Nigrani Shura, well, one thing I can say to your viewers of Madani Channel, he has the pain in his heart for the Ummah. And I pray to Allah that we have the pain in our heart for the Ummah. With regards to the topic, I want to very, very quickly finish. With regards to repentance, viewers of Madani Channel, what happens is sometimes it is stated that we do the dua and then we find out that why has our dua not been accepted? Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adam radiallahu ta'ala, he was going through the marketplace and having seen them, some people gathered him and they said to him, Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, supplicate to me and I shall answer you. And then they said to him, we've been making du'as, but they're not being accepted. Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adam, very, very quickly, I'm going to read this out to him. He said, your heart has become dead because of 10 things. Number one, Ibrahim bin Adam radiallahu ta'ala, he said that your heart has become dead because of 10 things. One, you believe in Allah Azza wa Jalla as the creator and owner, but you do not fulfill his rights. Two, you recite the Holy Quran, but you do not act upon it. Three, you claim to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and do not act upon his sunnah. Four, you claim to be the enemy of shaitan, but you become one of his followers. Five, you would like to go to paradise, but you do not perform any deed that attains it. Six, you admit that you have the fear of your hell, of the hellfire, but you form those deeds that will make you fall into it. Seven, you believe that death is true, even then you do not prefer for it. And eight, you are busy finding faults with others, but conceal your own faults. Nine, you consume the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, but do not thank Him. 10, you load the dead bodies of your dear and near ones with your own hands. Even then, you do not learn any lesson. Viewers of Madani Channel, I could talk so much about the 10 Madani pearls that were given to us by Sayyidina Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adam radiallahu ta'ala. But viewers of Madani Channel, we come towards the end of the program, but please stay tuned to Madani Channel. Make sure you repent from the sins that you committed and keep on watching Madani Channel, especially the Madani Muzakara. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.